the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount Plus.
Yes!
A Nickelodeon original podcast.
Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements ad-free with Avatar Braving the Elements Premium
on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe today.
Friends, benders, and non-benders alike, welcome to Braving the Elements, Nickelodeon's podcast about all things Avatarverse. I'm Janet Varney.
And I'm Dante Bosco, and we're dealing with some old-school Fire Nation content on this week's episode, Varney.
Yes, don't I know it? My background may be blue, but today my shirt is Fire Nation in honor of the Avatar and the Firelight. Even got my fire ferrets happening. Little fire emblem right there. I'm not messing around.
I'm loving the Fire Nation representation, but we're not the only ones here today. We're so psyched to be rejoined by one of our favorite earthbenders who also happens to be part of the past Braving the Elements shows. As one of our guests, you might remember him from our Waterbending Scroll episode.
Exactly, but you might also know him from the many, many, many ways to enjoy him online and on television, including Grand Crew, hosting a mystery show on Dropout very soon. Very excited about that. Please welcome our guest, Iffy Wattway. Hello,
hello,
my friend. Thank you so much for
welcome
back.
Welcome back, Iffy.
Yeah, it's good to see y'all on land. It's good to see y'all, you know.
That's right.
Just holding it down. This is an episode. Dante, you were in your bag in that booth. I was like, you got the feels jerking. This was the one that shook the table.
This was a heavy one. I know. Watch this episode again. I definitely was like, this is heavy. This is heavy, boy. What's going on?
Yeah. It's kind of like the storm, right? I mean, it has that sort of same echo of the storm where you're getting one story from this side, or you're getting another story from that side, and then it slowly becomes clear, or maybe quickly becomes clear that it's the same story from two different perspectives, which I love.
Some of my favorite stuff. When they mirror Aang and Zuko finding out about things together and their stories, how intertwined things that we think that are adversaries but are more alike than you would know. I love that.
It just comes together in this perfect way, and it really sets everything. Everything that happens after this is just it's like off to the races.
It's off to the races. So before we get into it, let's get back and let's revisit before we jump into the episode. And so here we are in book three, and everyone's memory is clear of the last episode because it was such a fan favorite, Varney.
Absolutely. We are talking about, of course, the beach, which we were so lucky to talk about with Cricket Lee, who voiced May, and Olivia Hack, who voiced Ty Lee. It was a very emotional conversation. Super fun. I laughed so hard I cried, and I almost cried so hard I laughed. That didn't happen. But the first part did.
But I was thinking Combustible Man also could have like a lot of gas, and maybe that would be what Combustion Man means. And he would kill you with his gas, which would be horrible.
It was amazing. It was one of my favorite episodes of this podcast in that life started to imitate art quick as Dante was yelling at Cricket and Olivia.
We're on Ember Island, you guys. Things happen at Ember Island. Our true selves come out.
I know.
We have to get our feelings out, and we got to get, you know, come clean.
That's very
true. With your folks.
Very true. And we couldn't have Gray with us because she had a scheduling conflict. It was very sad to miss it, but we played a lot of her sweetest, funniest, craziest lines that she has in the entire series. They happen.
Azula's greatest hits come from Ember Island,
so
the
good,
beach
so
episode.
So good, so good. So we've already been spending so much time in the Fire Nation. We know that. We love it. But now we're actually scooting back into the past for some insight into Fire Nation history.
Make sense of our past, Aang, and you will bring peace and restore balance in the world.
Roku? Roku!
We all know what happens in this episode. We see, like we just talked about, these two kind of parallel things happening with Zuko and Aang, as we have seen in the past, where their destinies are very much connected in the same way, or at least in a similar way to the way we see that Sozin and Roku's destinies are connected, and choices that people make, and the way that those things kind of spill forward into the future and drastically affect the fate of not just the Fire Nation, but in fact, the entire world. So this is really, really important stuff for us to know, for us to understand. And I always love a dip back into a past Avatar thing. You know, we don't get to see it much. And I love Avatar Day, where we really get to see some of Kiyoshi's background. Obviously, we've talked about the other Avatar books and had Christian FCE on the podcast. So we're all about the Avatar lore. We are all about those backstories. And I'm so excited to get into this one. This one was written by Elizabeth Welch and was directed by Ethan Spalding, two brilliant geniuses. And we've got some great guest stars in this that we'll shout out as we go along.
If there was ever an Avatar episode in which we could say it's coming in hot, this has got to be it. No gentle team Avatar wakes up for their next adventure opening here. No, no, no. We start in pure flames with Avatar Roku looking straight at us, telling Aang he needs to better understand the origin of the 100-year war. It's almost like this is like a video voicemail Roku leaves for Aang. But of course, in this reality, it's a vision that comes to him in a dream. In the dream, Aang looks like Aang, one, with no hair, because he has hair now. Yeah. And anyway, it's very clear Aang has to meet Roku on his home island on the day of the summer solstice. Roku is an avatar who loves giving Aang very specific calendar tasks. I mean, Roku's like, yeah, he has his calendar task ready.
Yeah, yeah.
I think because he's a more recent avatar. He's good with his calendar. In the Fire Nation palace, a sleeping Zuko wakes up to find someone's left a scroll outside his quarters. The scroll reads that Zuko needs to learn the downfall of his great-granddad, which will somehow reveal Zuko's own destiny. Again, I feel very comfortable saying this episode came in hot. And I actually watched this with my wife, right? Alice, who's from China, and I'm reading the scroll that's in Chinese. And she's like, you can't read Chinese. I'm like, I can't read Chinese. But Zuko can read Chinese very well, actually. That's how good as he's reading Mandarin.
That's also extremely very easy to imagine Alice saying, you can't read Chinese.
But she's watching the cartoon of my cartoon character reading Chinese. It was,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's that moment where you blend in and it's like.
It was impressive. Like,
yeah.
I felt like for a second I could read Chinese.
Yeah.
Sure.
Babe, of course I could read Chinese. What are you talking about?
Nice one, Sozin.
You were friends with Fire Lord Sozin?
Back then, he was just Prince Sozin.
Apparently, the summer solstice is around the corner because the whole gang heads out on a cloud-concealed appa to Roku's island, which appears empty at first. But Toph can sense an entire village buried beneath the ash, which is one of those
That's
cool
intense.
Toph moments yeah. where it's like, oh, you can't see it, but I can, which
right.
I really appreciate it. Always made her seem like such a dope character every time that happens.
But there's nothing here.
Yes, there is. An entire village. Hundreds of houses. All completely buried in ash.
At the palace, Zuko stares at the series of Fire Lord portraits that hang in the grand hallway. As Azula passes, Zuko asks her what she knows about their great-grandfather, which, you know, is taking it back because, you know, he got the scroll. It said, you know, it's going to that the downfall. So he's like, what's up with that? What's going on? And we learn that Sozin began the war, secretly preparing for it, waiting for the incoming comet. And she says he died peacefully in his sleep, an old and successful man, kind of like going against what he just saw in that paper in
mm-hmm.
a way.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
More about that later.
Foreshadow report.
Yeah. On Roku's island, Aang makes his connection with Roku, who appears on his spirit dragon, Fang. I mean, if a friend's going to come by and pick you up to hang out, a red dragon is a pretty sweet ride to show up in, you know?
Agreed.
Like, I've seen
cool, a homie.
Yeah. You know, like, I've always wanted a dragon, you know? Like, in the list of cool things I wanted a drifted car, I wanted a lowrider, and I wanted a dragon.
Well, you're earthbender. If you're an earthbender, if you're a fire lord, you might get a dragon. I'm just saying.
But we'll talk about them sliding on them rocks in a bit because that's another
There you go.
Meanwhile, Zuko's frustration over the mystery of the scroll leads to some good luck when he flings it onto his lantern and invisible characters appear.
Yeah, that worked out great.
What does it mean?
The Fire Sages keep the secret history in the Dragonbone Catacombs.
Now we have to talk about how incredibly cool the Fire Sages are. There's a rad secret stone spiral staircase in the middle of the courtyard that the Fire Sages access by igniting 6 flames at once. You know that's cool. Takes some synchronization too, you know?
Yeah, ingenuity. That's Fire Nation ingenuity we got.
Okay. All right.
We get architects out here. We doing good folks in the Fire Nation.
Yeah, yeah. Holding it down, huh? Zuko waits a while, then heads down himself, and the catacombs do not disappoint in the coolness factor either. It's almost like you're walking through a dragon spine. At the end, we come to a door that looks like a tomb with an image of Roku on it. Zuko places his hand on the fire symbol at the center and open sesame.
Zuko finds himself in this crypt, which it turns out contains the final testament of Fire Lord Sozin, which is, I guess, what you leave if you don't have you don't have anything to leave anyone. I don't know.
My you know great what I mean? Granddad. Like,
we're
was
used
weird.
To hearing last will
My great granddad's a
testament.
Strange guy. my great granddad's a rich, very rich, powerful man. He has different things, you know, different.
I think
ways
all of that's
things.
Baked in. Like, what happens to people? But like that's probably all like a known thing, so you don't need to leave a will. But I'm just saying, and no shade, I'm just saying, usually we hear like, this is the last will and testament of blah blah blah. So when you hear that it's just the final testament of Fire Lord Sozin, for a second I was like, oh yeah, I guess if you're not gonna leave anything to anybody, right. You could just leave your testament. That's all you need.
Great granddad was built different. He was built different.
That's right. Here we have this crypt. We see the final testament of Lord Sozin, and Aang is meanwhile heading off into the clouds with Roku, off to visit what we learn is going to be Roku's past. And through Sozin's testament, we hear from him about happier times. And then we have a flashback where we understand just how connected these two stories are. Sozin and Roku were best friends. And Aang and Roku are looking at this memory, which includes Roku being very smitten over a lovely young woman. And then we head to Roku and Sozin's shared birthday party where, I mean, this is a big moment, which would just be so surreal
to have
happened, right?
That's heavy.
Yeah. So they're having this birthday party, and then the Fire Sages show up and are like, yeah, happy birthday. Anyway, Roku, you're the next Avatar. So we have the prince, who is used to being, you know, the sort of most revered person in the room, and suddenly everyone is bowing down to his buddy, who is now, like, Avatar buddy. You know what I mean? That's intense.
Including himself. Including himself.
Yeah. He definitely bowed down.
He was like,
down.
I better bow, too. It was like, me too. I bow, too.
That's definitely when the beef started. I feel like if someone shows up to your birthday party and then outshines you like that, you're like, oh, at some point, I'm going to have to get you back.
It was both our birthday parties, by the way. Both our birthday parties. I mean, not ours, but, you know, the Avatar and my grandfather's. Uh-huh. I just think about that because actually I share my birthday with my older brother. So I kind of know
how
it
is
feels.
That?
I'm the younger brother.
Yeah.
So it feels good.
You're trying to piggyback onto his birthday.
I mean, I'm not piggybacking on his birthday. It's both of our birthdays.
Okay, so you kind of did that to him when it was your birthday after you were Zuko.
I kind of did
it's Zuko's birthday and Zuko's older brother.
You're right, exactly.
Exactly.
You got to share. You don't get to keep anything to yourself. It's like, not even my birthday. You don't even get your birthday to yourself. You need to share.
Sorry. But in this context, we have like, hey, guess what? You're the Avatar. And by the way, this changes everything forever. Including that you better go learn all the elements. You have to know how to master everything. That's part of being the Avatar. So Roku is now kind of immediately tasked with heading out to master the elements. He's got to find people who are going to teach him how to do it. The two friends share this moment where Sozin gives Roku the headpiece that is used to secure the crown princess or top knot. And it is actually a really meaningful parting gift. Like it's very beautiful. Whatever might be going on under the surface when suddenly your best friend is the Avatar, there's clearly still love between these two people. And he does.
Roku
well
rocks that
him.
Top knot, the top knot crown, for the rest of his life.
Oh yeah, he's like,
imagine giving your homie, your best homie, whatever, a hat, and that's the hat he wears every day.
Yeah.
For the rest of his life. I mean, I'd feel very special as a best friend. Like, damn, I really gave you your look.
Yeah.
I gave you your look.
Yeah.
Well,
he had it on. He
maybe
had
we'll
that
see
on.
How grateful. How grateful Sosa is.
I know.
That.
Foreshadow report coming up. I mean, this thing is so convoluted. Fire Nation, we're so got so much drama. We got so much. Yeah. We have so much drama.
I'm glad you admitted it.
Bathrooms in the spirit world?
As a matter of fact, they do not.
After a comical moment when we see Aang from the perspective of Katara, Sokka, and Toph, we're back in the spirit world with Roku as they head toward the Southern Air Temple, the first place Roku was sent to train. And it turns out he was friends with Monk Gyatso, which a young, bald Monk Gyatso before he got any arrows or anything.
I can't believe you were friends with Monk Gyatso just like I was.
Some friendships are so strong, they can even transcend lifetimes.
We go on to find out it literally took Roku years to master airbending. Then he headed to the Northern Water Tribe. Roku calls out waterbending as being particularly challenging for him, which begs the question, how many years did it take him to master that?
Yeah.
Although we see he got pretty good at that. I mean, like, firebenders, water is a little hard to switch up the polarities. Then it was time for the Earth Kingdom, where he trained with a bender named Sud, who also became a lifelong friend. Some very cool Earth skateboarding stuff,
That's what I was talking about. The dragon's cool, but when they were going up that mountain, I was like,
they were doing some cool Silver Surfer kind of Iceman surfing on Earth, which was very cool. So then we hear actually Roku talking about earthbending as bitter work, as what we heard earlier in book two from Iroh. And I guess, you know, that earthbending, it is bitter work. That's some hard bending, but it is worth it. And after seeing what Roku can do in the next sequence, I'm sure we all agree. And to get there took him 12 years. 12 years, y'all. That's how it took. How long? I don't know. I mean, I think it took Aang like a year to get everything together.
Yeah, I mean,
less than a year.
What a weird thing
it
to learn.
It took like 9 months, and it's taken...
It has to take him 9 months.
It's taken Avatar Roku 12 years.
Yeah. I mean, that blew my mind.
What are we talking about right now?
Yeah. You're like, it was a different time.
But you know it was a different time.
You know it's a time crunch. You know it's a time crunch for Aang. We know this. But when you put it in this context, it's the craziest time crunch of all time crunches.
Yeah.
This is also like 200 years ago, 150 years ago at least.
Yeah.
Well, so this was before there was a person who was trying to take over the entire world.
Hold on a second. Well, let's not get there yet.
All right.
Okay. Well, we're not going to get there. We'll get right where we left off. After the 12 years have passed, Roku returns to find that Sozin has also changed. But their friendship sustained, and the Fire Lord is even Roku's best man at his wedding to Ta Mint. Is this the first time we get an inkling that an Avatar can get married?
I mean,
because
did we know
it seems
this?
Like it. I don't know. That's why, because in that moment, I was like, oh, I thought Aang had to be on his own. I was like, dang.
Well, he's a monk, but Aang is a monk.
But I mean, he doesn't end up on his own. So, but yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. For me, I just don't think we have a sense at all. It's like when we hear about Kyoshi, it's not like, we hear about Kyoshi and Kyoshi's marriage or anything like that. So, always see, you know, the avatars are visiting.
It is a little jarring. It is a little jarring.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that was really interesting. Jarring. You're like, I can't put my finger on why I thought that couldn't be, but I guess you can.
Varney, I grew up Catholic. And when I went to see other people in other churches and they found out their pastors or whatever, I got wives and stuff. I'm like, what?
What's going on?
Like,
this is different.
Catholic. Like, my guys didn't do none of that stuff, but y'all doing what?
Yeah.
Wild.
Yeah.
So now I know why me and Dante was like, no, if you're an Avatar, you don't get married. You live in a convent. There's Avatar nuns.
That's right.
When love is real, it finds a way. And being the Avatar doesn't hurt your chances with the ladies either.
On Roku's wedding day, Sozin reveals his master plan. Listen to this.
Our people are happy, and we're so fortunate in so many ways.
Where are you going with this?
I've been thinking. We should share this prosperity with the rest of the world. In our hands is the most successful empire in history. It's time we expanded it.
Great granddad. He kind of make it sound good though, right? Kind of like
hold up.
That's how they get you.
I'm not saying it's a great idea. But I'm saying the way great granddad put it, like we're doing so good. Yeah. Like how great are we doing? We're doing so good. Everyone should do as good as us. So let's make everyone be us so we can all be good, like how good we feel right now for everyone. Don't that sound?
Well, it did. And that's why I was right there when Roku was like, what are you saying? He was like, oh, we take over everyone. He was like, whoa, hold on.
Roku did not buy it. Roku did not go in for like even a millisecond, right? Roku was like, what?
Yeah.
He was like pumping brakes right now.
Exactly. Was not a fan. Shut it down. But Sozin went ahead and went with his plan anyway. Went behind Roku's back.
Yes.
And then when he found out the truth, he confronts Sozin, and it does not go well. They face off in the Fire Nation Palace.
But in the Earth Kingdom. They face off in that Earth Kingdom Palace that he took over for a hot second.
Yeah.
Put the Fire Nation banner over it.
Mm-hmm.
And which is wild. He was, Granddad was up to all kinds of stuff.
Mission. He was on a mission. But then the mission got shut down. And because Roku was a real one, spared Sozin's life. Because, that could have been the end to this whole story. But it was,
he did. Kind of humiliated him. Let's be honest.
He kind of hung him on that spire in a way that I was like, oh, this is where the beef really comes
I know. As a firebender, I was thinking, how am I going to firebend myself down?
You got to burn the
spire
back.
Of a rock. Because it's a long, it wasn't like 10 feet up in the air. It was like 100 feet up in the air. I'm like, how am I going to get down here? Because I look like a jackass up here. And I'm a dang fire lord.
Truly, is this your king moment?
Nobody saw this. I hope nobody saw this.
Even a single step out of line will result in your permanent end.
After that, the two don't see each other for 25 years.
That's beef.
Until the volcano erupts on Roku's home island. The villagers, including Tommen, escape by boat as Roku tries to stop the force of the volcano. And Aang looks on super impressed with Roku's skills, but it's not enough. That volcano is too powerful. And I gotta be clear, we are not doing justice to the incredible animation of this volcano sequence, just showing off. There's a lot of reasons I'd say this is the, like when I got done, I was like, oh yeah, this is the episode of like kind of from the story, but also just to see like the power of an avatar. We really get to see, how indispensable being able to master four different elements really comes into play there.
I think that was a nightmare for them to animate. Yeah, if I remember correctly.
I'm sure it was.
Yeah, I think Mike and Brian were like, don't get us started on this. Like, I think it was a really hard thing.
It was a lot. It was a lot going on there. And I do know how my mindset is a little more Fire Lord than Avatar, because I was, for a second, like, walk away, Roku. Walk away. I was like, you and your girl are gone, and you got a few people out. Chaka Manel, this is too much. This is too much.
Like,
and you got
the
poisonous gases coming. It's too much.
Oh, yeah. It was a lot. It was a lot. But Roku went into the Avatar state and directs the lava yet again over to the other side of the island. But then a second volcano erupts just as Sozin arrives on his own dragon, offering to help Roku through the catastrophe. At one point, Roku saves Sozin's life, but Roku's been breathing too much of that toxic gas, and he collapses.
Parents, are you looking for new ways to teach your child how to grow up to be a tyrant?
Then get out your credit card and get ready to order the Talking Sozin Doll, suitable for bullies age 6 and up. The Talking Sozin Doll has a handy pull string in its back that dispenses all kinds of horrible advice.
Your loyalty is to our nation first. Anything less makes you a traitor. Without you, all my plans are suddenly possible. I wiped out the air temples.
Order your Talking Sozin Doll today, because
together we could do anything.
I mean, the second volcano, really? Like, that's that moment where you're like, I think I got this. And then it's like,
yeah.
What if we just start everything all over again when you have almost nothing left in the tank? Like, oh, yeah. That would have been so horrible.
They almost teasing us like they almost overcame, but.
Yeah. It's rough, buddy. So Roku reaches out his hand. He's imploring. I mean, this is heartbreaking. He's imploring Sozin to help him. But does he? Let me be very clear. No, he does not. He straight up strands Roku on an island of lava. What are you going to try to say to me right now, Dante?
I want to say, yes, you are correct. But we have to, and I'm not just saying this because he's great granddad, which, you know, he has flaws. It's flawed man, flawed family. Uh-huh. I'm not proud of everything my family did. I'm actually very embarrassed and upset about it.
Okay.
And I'm trying to right the wrongs. However, his main first urge was to go jump on the blue dragon and help out his old homie who he has not talked to in 25 years. That major beef is going on, but he saw his old friend in need and went to go help. You saw him blasting stuff and helping to that first volcano get it down. They got it down together. The first intent was not to like leave his friend hanging in the despair of poisonous gases.
Yeah, this is like that thing. This is like that thing.
Please.
Without you, all my plans are suddenly possible. I have a vision for the future, Roku.
But I'm saying his first intent was not to do that. His first intent was to, like, help out.
This is that thing where parents are like, I'm going to show you Bambi. It's a great movie. And then they pause it right before Bambi's mom gets shot. And they're like, and that's the end. Wasn't it great? Yeah. It was like a great 10-minute movie.
It could have ended right there.
You just want people to pause it. Yeah, you want people to pause it and be like, cool, I guess he helps him.
Great granddad went back and helped out Roku, and then they had a picnic afterwards, and they made up for lost time, and they were like, how do we let 25 years go by? I'm such an idiot. Me too. Let's hang out.
So I have a question, because y'all, you know, this is more fresh in y'all mind, the whole series, than mine.
Yeah.
Is this the exact moment we find out why the Avatar vanished? Is this like the exact moment we're seeing? Because remember in the intro, when we needed him most, he disappeared, but he didn't.
Oh, not yet. No. This is when Roku basically and Fang, it looks like, passes away. And then it will go to the next.
Which is Aang.
Aang's around for a little bit before he vanishes.
Yeah,
Aang,
but you're right.
So it was
you're
up to Aang. Was it Aang who vanished? Because I thought they were, because in the intro animation, it looks like Roku kind of.
Oh, I don't know. Do you think
I see what you're saying. No, it is. I mean, it is Aang who disappears, but the idea of Aang being seen as the next Avatar is like obviously extremely closely tied to this moment. So yes, like we see a little baby Aang, right? So we see this kind of transference of I'm gonna say authority, but of avatarship. And then Aang's around and getting trained as Avatar, but then he's the one who disappears for all those 100 years.
But it was for a second when Fang wrapped around Roku, I thought Fang was going to save Roku.
That's so sweet.
And then when you saw Aang, I'm like, oh,
yeah,
no.
Me too.
Roku
didn't
get saved. Roku's not saving. Oh, you're like, Aang.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I know.
It's a done
deal. He might be okay.
Because Aang hasn't been trained at that level. He would have had none of the power to even stop Sozin at that point because he hasn't mastered anything, right?
He's a baby. Yeah.
He's a baby. And then, so that's why they was like, we got to put you in ice because you ain't, we can't have you get destroyed.
Well, no, well, he ends up, when he finds out, when Aang finds out he's the Avatar, he kind of like runs from it.
Oh, yes. So yes. Okay.
He's like afraid like not to wanting be the Avatar. He ices himself.
I remember that. Okay.
Not I'm by back. His own
My
doing.
Brain's back.
Yeah.
Okay. We connected.
All right. So you mentioned it, Dante. You mentioned it. I mean, Fang encircles Roku. It's so sweet. It's like friends till the end. You like, yes. And it does. And in that way, it does sort of mirror that Appa Aang moment, like this idea that you're together forever and that you know, Fang knows. So I'm going to get too emotional. I can't get into it, but it's very, very, very sweet.
You'd hope your dog, you think your dog would be down for you like that?
No.
I think a dog for no. sure cats.
My dog would be like, I'm going to miss you so much. I think my dog would be like, I'm going to miss you, but I thought, and I do want you to live, but I think I smell bacon about a mile away.
So Fang was like, you go down, I go down, we go down together.
Yeah.
That's how Fang rolls.
Oh, yeah. That's you how go, Fang rolls.
I think Appa's right that way too. I think Appa would be that
he
way
is.
Also.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely playing the
What about
the
Korra?
Last
what about Korra? What about Korra?
Yeah.
What about
Naga?
What's his name?
To the end.
Naga.
Her name. How dare you?
Naga to the end?
Forever. Forever. Could not be more sure. Could not be more sure. That happens. My heart breaks. The next moment, we do see that baby Aang, like we talked about, and then we're back to Sozin's testament, and he's describing how, I appreciate his honesty, and there's some real regret in what he's writing. I think, maybe, no, I don't know, I guess not.
Yeah,
but I want to believe
he regretted it.
Right? I mean, he's describing how he wiped out the air temples reaching, searching for the Avatar, because he knew how the cycle works.
He's straight just, you know, admitted to genocide. In that writing. Like he may not admit it to everybody in that last testament in the secret cave.
Yeah.
He was like, oh yeah, I did the genocide.
Yeah. And that's all he cares about. Which by the way, Shades of Zuko. Like his whole life becomes about finding the Avatar. And we even see, which is amazing, this Fire Nation ship pass over the very location of Aang and Appa's bubble in the ice. So he came so close. And I love that tie-in too. The idea of like, you're searching everywhere. Guess what? You couldn't have known there would be a giant bubble, you know?
No.
Sorry.
He shouldn't get him. Great-granddad didn't deserve to find the Avatar.
Agree. So the testament ends. Zuko can't believe it. He's like, let me flip this over. Like, where's the other side? Let me hold this up over some heat, see if I can get some magic characters to come through like I did in my scroll. Where's the rest? What is this? He heads out to the prison and confronts Iroh. I love that he just immediately goes to being angry at Iroh. Like, he's so hurt. Zuko's so wounded.
Of course. And he's like a petulant child. You're going to be angry at your parents for something immediately.
Yeah. Runs to the prison, accuses him. Somehow you're behind this. You sent me the scroll with a hidden message. And Iroh's like, oh, I'm sorry. Did you think you were going to come here and blow my mind with something? Let me go ahead and blow your mind. Because this is where we all find out together that Roku was Zuko's maternal great-grandfather.
You have more than one great-grandfather, Prince Zuko. Sozin was your father's grandfather. Your mother's grandfather was Avatar Roku.
Why are you telling me this?
Because understanding the struggle between your two great-grandfathers can help you better understand the battle within yourself.
Mind blown.
Bam.
Yeah.
That was so heavy. That's like the Darth Vader moment of like, I'm your father moment. It hit so hard. Like, what? He did it so smooth. He's like, oh, you think I'm talking about that great granddad.
Yeah, you got another great granddad.
Yeah. Your mom's size great granddad is Roku.
And he's got the headpiece. Which, by the way, where did that come from? How long has he been carrying it? Where was it?
Where was the headpiece? How long ago does Azula know this?
You couldn't handle that information.
Does Azula know this? No one told me this.
Have you been paying attention to how you've been acting? Why would someone give you that information?
I agree. I'm gonna have to agree with that. Yeah. It's mind blowing. It's an amazing piece of information.
We need a reality show. We need a Fire Nation royalty family reality show, and we need to keep up with the Fire Nation family because these guys are nothing but drama 24/7.
It's a lot. And it's one of those moments, too, where you, again, there are just there's so many moments throughout the books of Avatar where you really get a sense of the confidence of the storytelling. And we talked about this at the beginning of book three with Mike and Brian. Like, so much of what they did in their series Bible before they really had any idea if the show was going to move forward or anything, so much of it has stayed immaculate and is, like, very much part of the lore. And this is one of those moments where you're like, oh, you guys knew this the whole time, didn't you? Like, we only just found out
it's a good one.
That Roku is his great-grandfather. That's awesome. They're keeping a tremendous secret from us.
What does this all mean? What does it all mean?
This is another existential crisis for Zuko, as if he didn't already have too much going on in his brain. Meanwhile, Aang now has to debrief Team Avatar, kind of explaining the point of the story. For Aang, on his side, he's like, this is about hope, you know? This is about people being able to redeem themselves and friendships that can last beyond a single lifetime. And it's beautiful, but right. I gotta be honest with you, and you guys tell me if you agree, this is a great moment, and it's great that, you know, the episode ends on this note, but, like, I'll say 75% of my brain is still stuck at Roku being his maternal great-grandfather. Like, I appreciate what Aang's saying, but I'm in 100%. That space of, like, yeah, but hold up, because I got a lot to process.
Because what does that mean? Because what it means also is, like, Aang is your grandfather, Zuko, somewhere. In
yeah.
past life.
I mean, they're the same.
Aang's your grandfather.
Yeah, that's heavy.
What's
no, that's a really
right
good point.
Now.
That's a really good point. Like, you are so tied to the Avatar now in this totally
Zuko
profound
got a lot
way.
On his plate. Zuko got so much on his plate. You guys, they overfilled Zuko's plate. This guy is eating for days. This is too much.
He did not need to make that last trip to the buffet. He did not need to.
He should have stayed
at the table.
Oh, yeah.
And his great-granddad on his dad's side is a jerk. And the other great-granddad is the Avatar.
It's a lot.
And I'm searching for the Avatar.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This guy, I mean, Zuko got too much going on in his head right now. He needs to write a rap album, do some Drake album, and just come out with all his feelings.
And he just got back from vacation.
Fates are intertwined.
A lot of just really great stuff that is, you know, part of sort of entirety of the world building of Avatar, the way things connect to each other, knowing that now we have, you know, this relationship to Gyatso that existed before Aang's time, and just seeing the Northern Water Tribe city that's, like, still being built, and maybe it didn't need that big wall before Sozin decided that he wanted to just, like, take over everything, right? Which is such a great ways of showing you, again, that, like, effect that Sozin has on the entirety of the world and how the world relates to each other. It's just so good and sad also at the same time. It's incredibly sad.
And seeing Sozin, the way his mind's thinking of why he went, like why does someone start a 100-year war? Like, why would you do that? And to get some backstory of the way he was thinking, right or wrong, obviously wrong, but to get that, you're like, oh, this is where his head's at. This is where he's going. And, you know, because, like, think about it. He's, like, probably drunk on the power, but he has a great stroke of luck. Like, oh my God, me and my best friend. Like, I'm the Fire Lord. And then my best friend just happens to be the Avatar. We're, like, the two most powerful people in the world. Like, let's do this.
Yeah.
You can see people doing that. You can see how people... Oligarchies work. That's how oligarchy works.
Yeah. Yeah. And it also adds this whole new level to one of my favorite moments. I've made no secret about it. One of my favorite moments in The Blue Spirit, when Aang's like, would we have been friends? Now you have this whole other level of the Avatar and the Fire Lord or the Fire Prince being friends. And, you know, it's like, Aang...
past life, that's beautiful.
Yeah. Like, did Aang thinks he's thinking about his friend? But
yeah.
Kuzan, right? But, like, is he? Because if his past life is reminding
him. Because he could be thinking of his friend Sozin.
Yeah, on this deep level. Like, oh, it's so good. I just got a little bit of chills.
Or maybe he's thinking of his grandson. Would we be friends or would you be my grandson? Great friend.
Bless.
Son. He's just trying to son me. It's yeah. like eating a fireball in the back of his head.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, a lot of people think that, and I don't want to dwell too much on this because it gets so emotional, I know, but obviously we lost Mako, and Greg yes. Baldwin came in to just beautifully and respectfully yes. Fill in. And so there are for, very understandably, people are like, oh, this is, you know, they actually purposefully didn't have Iroh speak for a while because we were sort of processing what had happened. But right. in the DVD commentary, I can't remember if it's Mike or Brian, but they do sort of say, weirdly, we knew that this was going to happen anyway. Yeah, so it just was one of those things that kind of worked out.
Evil and good are always at war inside you, Zuko. It is your nature, your legacy. But there is a bright side. What happened generations ago can be resolved now by you.
This is not an animal-heavy episode. I don't feel like there's a ton of hybrids happening. I mean, we love our dragons. Yeah. But I don't, yeah, do we see dragons. Anything else? I think so. Oh, and have to shout out, before we get into most valuable bending and not bending, definitely got a shout out. Dante and I were at the Minneapolis Con last year, and we met this adorable family, Frankie, Ashley, and their little baby Anna, who I believe was in an Appa costume, cosplay, I should say. And they ship Rosen. Because they feel like these two had this very complicated relationship. And so they love the idea of it kind of being that, you know, like love, hate, what do we do with all these feelings? Kind of thing. So they ship Rosen. And they're like, no one ever ships Rosen. No one ever talks about it. So I said, we will make sure to shout you guys out when we talk about this episode, because this is the episode to talk
Amazing.
About. It. So shout out to you all.
A shout out to them. Twin Cities Con. It was a great con. And we also met one of the other super fans that was on the show, Noah,
That's right.
in real life at Twin City Con.
Yeah.
So shout out to Noah, too.
Shout
yeah,
out to
Noah.
See
all work.
The super fans in real life.
We got to see his autograph book, which was a masterpiece. He
pretty
really
stacked
had
thin.
Yeah it's some deep cuts in there from the Avatarverse, which is very cool. Let's talk about most valuable bending of the episode. I mean, there's a lot of bending that happens in this episode. A lot of it's like pretty somber.
It has to be the volcano bending, right? Because if he wasn't abandoned by someone's great grandfather, that would have been a mega win. You know, if a true friend showed up and never left him abandoned on that volcano, would have been able to save everyone and himself.
Hard agree.
If he wasn't
backstabbed, they did save a lot. They did some things. They got some stuff, some work accomplished, but then maybe. We don't know because he was hitting those poisonous fumes a lot. Remember earlier in the episodes, like these fumes are real poisonous, too poisonous. And then he got hit. He was there for a while. You can't be in poisonous fumes for that long. So even though
it was too far gone,
I think the way great granddad spun it later on is he was there. We don't know if Roku would have died anyway. Because he was
this is
too
so
exposed
sad.
For too long.
There's no way to know.
Fumes.
There's
we
no
don't
way
know.
To know.
We don't ultimately know if that was too
so
much.
Sad.
Uh-huh. How much poison fumes can you have before it's too much?
Great, great, great. I mean, this is a politician through and through. It is no wonder this person became the Fire Lord at the end.
I'm just saying. We don't know.
I also am very comfortable giving it up to Roku for doing astonishing work in trying to stave off this disaster. And again, could have used a little help from a friend, could have used a little leg up, did not get that, got the opposite of that, and it is what it is. What about most valuable non-bending of the episode?
For me, it has to go to Uncle Iroh for like dropping the bomb on us. I mean, first of all, how he got that scrolled up. How he got that scrolled on to Zuko, I don't know. Uncle Iroh, even in jail, he knows people. He got things going on. But then to kind of like let him know that he's talking about the other great granddad, that moment was amazing.
Well, you know, I want to talk about that too, because I was thinking that it was either that or how quickly Roku made that tea, which means that had to be an effort in all the bending to get that temp right and down at the same.
Earth, and he was good. He was good.
Something about Iroh choosing this specific moment to reveal this. There's right. some power in that, because it also seems really? Like Zuko
really, Uncle?
Is at the point to accept it. It seems like Zuko wants something more. You kind of yes. see in his interactions early in the episode. And I think that Uncle Iroh was like, it's time you know what really went down. Because I see.
Now's the time?
Yeah. I see now's the conflict time, within you, the good and evil fighting.
I've been chasing this dude for years, at least months. Now's the time to tell me. Now that yeah. I'm back with Azula and she's manipulating me all over the place.
Yep, exactly.
Now's the time to tell me. You could tell me a while ago. All that tea we drank in the tea shop, Uncle.
No, he wasn't
were
ready.
Chilling in Ba Sing Se for Mm-mm. what seemed like an ready. Eternity. And Mm-mm. I finally yeah. got around to feeling good about ourselves in the tea shop. We made some really fine, nice tea. And we thought we were going to throw it all away to just be tea moguls, which I was in. I was 100% in. All those long afternoons and nights of us just drinking tea, you didn't feel like telling me about the Roku situation, like yeah during that time.
Well, look, you said I should be happy right now. I'm back home, my dad speaks to me. Why am I not happy? And it's because deep down inside you knew your yeah. real homie is Aang.
Yeah.
A lot going yeah. on. There's a lot going on.
Oh, it's so good.
A lot no, to process. A lot to process.
I love that. If
I can only imagine people watching it for like back in the day when it drops a week oh. and they have to wait a week to be like, oh, what? It's
going. When I said the table
the whole
was
week,
shook.
And there's
around,
no like, Twitter. There's no Twitter. You have to go on to like yeah, the chat. Like you have to like, okay, let me get on to like a, you know, like a bulletin board to talk about the yeah. fact that we just found this out. Room. Like I can't tweet about this. Yeah.
Like, I distinctly remember when this episode came out and the buzz that was going around. This was the one that had the people buzzing, people going.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. It's great. And I agree.
October 26th, 2007.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
Let us never forget.
Yeah, I was fresh. First freshman year, Long Beach City College. All the kids in Japanese class was like, wow. This is the one.
Oh,
this is the one.
I love that.
People say about a lot of things, but this truly is one of those.
Yes.
This changes everything.
Yes.
Moment.
Uh-huh. And it is almost 100%. Like, at least it's for almost like Iroh heard. I mean, you know, we are on the outside of it. So we have that sort of like omniscience, right, about what happened in the last episode. But it's so key. And we hear Iroh acknowledge it. This idea of not like really being torn between good and bad. And feeling like he can't tell what's right and wrong anymore. And that Iroh is like, exactly to your point, Ify, and which I agree, this is for me also the most valuable non-bending, is he had to get to a point where his conflict was right on the surface. It can't be buried deep anymore. And it can't just be about catching the Avatar. It has to be about something deeper than that. And when you are at your lowest point, you know, when you're in a place where you're like, I don't really have a good excuse for being so unhappy, but it's even worse than ever. And I can't tell the difference between right and wrong. That's yeah. the opportunity for Iroh to be like, there is a reason that these polarities exist inside you. And it's so choice. And I'm sorry, Dante/Zuko, that it was a lot to take on. But yes, this is the moment. Yeah,
it's a lot to chew.
Uncle.
It's a lot to chew right now.
It is the moment. Ify. Thank you so much for coming back to
Thank
be
so
in
of
one
course.
Of the most key, most choice.
Always great having you on the show.
Episodes.
Truly, no, it's always a blast sitting down, hanging with y'all. Any opportunity I get to do that, you know, possibly soon. Very happy. But yes. Thanks for having
Amazing.
Me.
Amazing. Where can people find you?
Ify Wadiway on Twitter and Instagram, and you know, eventually all will be revealed on those platforms.
Wonderful. Ooh, how about that? He's like, I have some news to drop about who my good tease, grandfather
good tease,
was.
Good tease. Yeah.
I love a tease.
We'll be seeing you soon, Ify. We'll be yeah. seeing you soon.
Oh, all right. Thanks, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the Avatar and the Fire Lord and that your minds are also blown. All right, friends. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Avatar Braving the Elements. Now, want more Avatar? You can follow the official Avatar accounts at Avatar The Last Airbender on Instagram and Facebook. You can also follow the official Avatar Braving the Elements account on TikTok at Avatar Official Podcast.
Tell your fellow Avatar friends to listen, rate, and follow the podcast on Apple Podcasts.
This podcast is hosted by Janet Varney and Dante Bosco. The theme song was composed and produced by Jeremy Zuckerman. Audio production and editing was provided by Zeke Rodriguez-Thomas and Mindjam Media. Avatar Braving the Elements was executive produced by Lynn Keston-Sessler. Produced by Lisa Summerscale-Steeler with consulting producer Janet Varney, with production support from Kira Chow, and special thanks to Avatar Studios, Garrett Beltis, and Danielle Pretzfelder-Demchik. Trademark, copyright, and phone record, 2023 Viacom International Incorporated, all rights reserved. This has been a Nickelodeon original podcast.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in business into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.